Hi friends, welcome to my daily update video. Hey, today I'm gonna begin a new four-part series entitled By Every Word. Let me mention as well, I have some PDF teaching notes with scripture, my teaching notes that go along with this video. If you're interested, there'll be a link below or go to ggm.org/notes and you can download those notes. Well, in a minute, I'm gonna jump into this. Let me give you a few quick updates. Well, I'm still in France. This is my office in France and headed back tomorrow to the United States. Appreciate your prayers that I can get on a flight okay. They're messing flights up all over the world right now. But hey, this coming weekend, I will be in Sturbridge Worship Center Sunday morning, New England Fellowship Sunday afternoon. We're really looking forward to those services there. Good. What else can I share? Again, as always, if you're new to my YouTube channel, please hit the subscribe button, share the link below, and if you haven't yet signed up for our email newsletter, do that. Lastly, I have a new course out as well, just come out on my ministry school, ministryschool.net, and it's a course on teaching and preaching. It's a course, it's primarily aimed at teachers and preachers, pastors, itinerant ministers, people with a call of God on their life to ministry. And what I do in this course, a six-part video or audio course, I take people through really my process, and how I prepare messages. How, you know, I've met many people who struggle to prepare messages, and I've never struggled because I think years ago God told me, don't spend too much time preparing messages, spend a lot of time preparing your heart. And I teach people how to live a prepared life, how to have a prepared heart, how that flows into a prepared message, and then how to deliver a message. And I speak about how to keep that connection between you and the Holy Spirit and you and the congregation as you preach. Also, how to preach effectively without notes. You know, I use notes probably about 1-2% of my time preaching, and you know, that works for me. I think everybody should have the freedom to preach as God wants you to. There's nothing wrong with using notes, but if you rely overly upon them, that can be a limitation. So developing the skill set of how to preach without notes is really important. Anyway, that course is there available. Hey, I have an offer this week. It is 60% off. So check that out at the links below. Boom. Well, today I'm going to jump in, as I said, into a new series, and if you're interested, get those notes, again, links below, and I really want to talk about the theme of By Every Word, and let me read a couple of scriptures to begin with this. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1, the Lord says, every commandment, or every part of my word, which I've commanded you this day, be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply. It's really important. God says, I've given you my word. That's the part God did. God said, what I want you to do is to literally be an observer. Observe my word. What will it do? You'll live and you'll multiply. I love that. It says also, secondly, you'll go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Do you know, I believe God's got a promised land for every one of us. God has a promised land for the body of Christ. God has an individual promised land for every single one of us. And few, frankly, are those who go in and possess that land. How do we possess that land? Again, by observing the word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In verse 2, he said, you remember that the Lord your God led you all these ways 40 years in the wilderness. Then he lists three reasons why God took them into the wilderness. To humble you, to test you, and to know what was in your heart, whether you would walk in his word or not. I'm going to get back to this in a later lesson. But the reason most of us are going through a test and don't always notice we're going through a test so often comes down to those things. Does God want to humble us? Well, yes, what God really wants is for us to humble ourselves. He says, you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, God will lift you up, God will exalt you. But he said, I led you in the desert that you would be humbled, that you would be tested, you would be proved. Again, we're going to come back to that one. And that it says to know what was in your heart. I kind of think God knew already what was in their heart. In fact, I'm certain he did. What happens when we're going through a testing situation, though, is we learn, we observe, we discover what is in our hearts. Verse 3 said, so he humbled you, Moses is saying, he allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know that your fathers know, that he may know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'll also read briefly in Matthew 4, same passage in Luke chapter 4. It says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, to the desert, if you will. Why? To be tested, to be tempted by the devil. Interesting, Israel spent 40 years in the desert. Jesus spent 40 days in the desert. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So my goal this week, I've been for a walk here in the countryside in France today, and I actually love, it's part of how I read the Bible, part of my method in reading the Bible. Sometimes there are passages I just read through. Sometimes I literally take one word, one verse, half a verse, a little phrase, and just really, I want to meet God. I want to wring everything I can out from that passage. And just that little phrase, by every word. Man shall not live by bread alone. You know, I'm in France. I'm coming back tomorrow or Thursday. And I have one big regret. There'll be no more French bread in America. Every single day. I think today's the only day I haven't done this yet. But I've gone to the boulangerie in town, where my little village where I live. You have to get there early to get bread. Yeah, they'll often run out by about 11 a.m., something like that. But there's nothing like great fresh bread. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. If it's socially okay to do that, just say that phrase with me, by every word. Man is supposed to live by every word. Not every word that comes from a government or a politician, a Trump or a Biden or a Macron or whoever, all of their words are usually foolishness. By every word that comes from the mouth of God. So that's what I want to explore with you this week. I want to begin by talking about the word of God settled in heaven. Yeah, God's word is absolutely settled in heaven. Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges Christians have is they don't live a settled life. And I don't mean they don't travel. What I mean is they don't live a stable life. I meet so many people, I pass the people who had high place experiences with God. They've had, as it were, mountaintop experiences with God. And yet those experiences don't last. And you never quite know how they're going to be with God. They'll walk in victory for a season and then plummet back into defeat. And I believe God wants there to be a stability to our walk with him. I think Jesus always lived in the same place. I don't mean emotionally he wasn't touched. We should laugh at those who laugh and weep at those who weep. You know, we're going to feel things. We're going to go through things. But there should be a stability to our walk with God, which enables us to base our life like a house that's built upon a rock. And I believe it starts, and that's what I want to explore with you briefly today. It starts with this idea, the Word of God is completely settled in heaven. God and his Word are eternally one. God is utterly yoked with his Word. There's no distance between what God says and who God is. Literally, Jesus is the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. God's word is a settle. It's a done deal. This is never going to change. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. Matthew 24. So, the challenge of you and I, the challenge of most believers is actually not the challenge we think it is. So often we're asking God to do things, asking God. It's like we're coming to God and saying, God, would you change? Lord, would you do things that, would you please do this? Would you answer prayer? Would you do that? And most of the time, those prayers are at best misguided. You know, God does not need to change. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. God has already spoken the last word on everything that will ever be. He's spoken the last word on humanity, the last word on the history of mankind, the history of the world. He's spoken already the last word on, you know, his last word on your salvation, your healing, your freedom, your blessing, your calling. God's already given his word. And it's so wonderful to see that God has spoken. Come on, I want you to catch that today. God has spoken. God's not going to change his mind. He's not going to, well, let's review this. And you don't need to talk God into doing anything. The challenge of the believer is to move from ignorance to knowledge to revelation to experience. Let me say that again. The challenge of you and I as we go through our daily life is to move from ignorance. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, Isaiah 5:13 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of understanding and a lack of knowledge. Jesus said, John 8, 32 and 33, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So it's vitally important that we move from ignorance to knowledge. But then it's also more important we move from knowledge to revelation. We move from knowledge, which is more like a head learning of a fact. I can read a fact here. I can. There probably was a time in my younger days as a child. Anyway, I went to a church and I heard facts about Jesus died, he rose again, he's a savior. But there came a time when that became a revelation. Revolutionized my heart. Yeah, the anointing doesn't come on information. The anointing comes on revelation. Revelation from the word is always designed to lead us into an encounter with God. So we go from ignorance to information to revelation, and revelation begins and begats and leads us into the inheritance that God has for us. Let me finish with this verse today, but one of my favorite verses is Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. The next verse says, but the revealed things belong unto us. Yeah. The next verse says, and to our children's children and the children's children. And then it says that we may do, we may act upon, we may activate, we may do all the words of this law. If you think about it, there are four concepts in that one verse. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, mystery. The revealed things belong unto us, revelation, that we may pass them on to our children, inheritance. And the last verse is action, that we may do all the words of this law. So my encouragement to you today as you walk with God is don't live by bread alone, live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Boom. Hey, again, if you're interested in getting the notes for this teaching, just go to ggm.org/notes and I will be emailing those out later today. And looking forward to seeing some of you back in the States, and bless you. Have a wonderful day, guys. Bye for now.